Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. And opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, of course, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I refer to as USA Inc., standing for the United States of America Incorporated, which became a corporation back in the 1800s, late 1800s, 1870s, 71, somewhere thereabout. So when you look at politics today and you see the relationship of big money through corporations having their way with the United States government, well, I mean, these are corporations. And their whole intent is to make money in many cases. Of course, I'm not talking about nonprofits or anything like that. Today's date is June 13, 2016. It is a hot day. And when I say hot, I mean hot, hot for these parts. At least it feels that way, just very humid, but I am around a lot of vegetation and what have you here in North Carolina. But we're experiencing what they're calling, you know, one of the many heat waves, first of the summer, since the summer season came in. We do have, of course, a program. Well, excuse me, we have a guest scheduled today. We will be joined here in just about 10 after the hour by Mr. Donnie Bradford, who is the Tennessee rep for 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. Of course, you can find out more about the movement by going to IamOneOfTheMillion.com. Again, that is 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. And again, we're in a political season right now, even though politics is 24/7, 365 days a week, really. They don't really, you know, when they take their little breaks from Congress or from the state legislatures and what have you, they what? Getting with businesses and corporations in the community, so the politics don't ever stop. So we're looking forward to speaking to Mr. Donnie Bradford because I Am One of the Million does have a training session that's coming up and an orientation. Of course, an orientation will be for new members. And again, this is a movement. Right now, it hasn't, you know, become an organization in terms of filing paperwork with the U.S. government or the state government. So what this is a movement. This is a people coming together to discuss their grievances behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. and come up with solutions. And of course, the founders, they focus a lot on economics, which, you know, economics can address a lot of issues, but even the economics are controlled by what? The politics. That's how Wall Street banks get bailed out like that, and then your children on the hook to pay the interest on the money that was borrowed from the Federal Reserve and what have you. So, you know, like Malcolm X said, by any means necessary. So they have a training session coming up this month on June the 24th. It's a 2-day session. It is going to be in Jackson, Tennessee. And as I stated, Mr. Bradford is a representative representing out of the state of Tennessee. So looking forward to that. Also, sympathies to the family and the victims of the nightclub that where all those people were slaughtered in Orlando. Just inexcusable, you know. Just I mean what can you say? What can you say? How can you even go there and try to come up with any kind of justification, whether you using biblical scriptures or whether you using, you know, stuff from the Quran? No justification whatsoever. None of us were those people's maker. Whether we agree with how they was living their life or not, I think most sane and logical thinking people would say that that was an inexcusable act of just, I'm kind of blown away about it, you know, because I was thinking about it earlier. Again, I'm a heterosexual male, but never have shied away from being friends with people who are classified as homosexuals, whether they be bisexual, homosexual males or homosexual females. Just have never shied away, you know. And to my shame, you know, coming up when I was like, say, of age where I can understand things, you know, a little bit better than a child as a 13-year-old, and this guy in the community I live in now, you know, the guys picking on him and, you know, talking about he gay and all this, and he was, and what have you. And so, you know, I almost bought into that and found myself being mean to him one day. I was just passing him and he playing with some cars, toy cars in a driveway, and I was just mean to him. And I thought about that later. Why was I nasty to him? Because of these other dudes. And then later I find out that many of them would be creeping in the night with him, creeping to his window, knocking on the window pane, you know. So a lot of hypocrites out there. Whatever your beliefs on homosexuality is, you know, I just don't buy in mistreating anyone. I let the creator be the judge. As long as they're not harming anyone else, you know, that's why I'm so against these drug laws and what have you. All these people in prison for victimless, nonviolent drug-related offenses and what have you. They built a whole new industry of slavery just on that piece of legislation or those type of laws alone. So, you know, Mr. Fuller talked about on a clip that I kind of like of his, where he talks about it's justice versus injustice. It comes down that simple. Cases like these, not about black or white. And from what I could see, most of these victims was non-white, killed by a guy that was an Arab. But we do want to talk about that after we get through talking to Mr. Bradford, who is joining us on our Skype studio line. Thank you for joining us today, Mr. Bradford.
Thank you, good brother.
All right. You are a Tennessee representative for the movement, 1 million conscious black voters and contributors, but you are also the web designer. So, as I, you know, welcome to the program, but I have an interest in that. And so, do you have a business, bro? Because I like your work.
Yes, sir, I do, brother.
As a fellow designer, so I like your work. And so, you know, this movement is made up of what? You know, black business owners. We try to buy black as much as possible, but also black voters. So this coming, let me see, in the next week or so, I believe, is when y'all will have the training session and orientation in Jackson, Tennessee. So I imagine you'll be there and what have you. But before we get into the details of that, Brother Donnie, What attracted you to this movement?
Well, I've been knowing, first of all, thank you, Brother Scotty, for allowing me to come on to represent the movement. I've been knowing Baba Klingman and Baba Mafika for years. I met them first, and we actually met Brother Klingman in Nashville, Tennessee. He was speaking at a Black Chamber of Commerce event. And I met Baba Mafika in Cincinnati when they had the first Black, economic meeting. And ever since then, those two elders and gentlemen, they had my interest. I've been looking for somebody like them, and they're like-mindedness. And I say since about 2006, I've been knowing these two good brothers. And if they're involved in something, I know it's positive and it's conscious for our people. So that's what got me into the 1 million conscious Black voters and contributors to become a member and also a doer within the movement.
So you said, Brother Bradford, that they attracted, you knew they worked for a number of years. You even attended, at a speaking engagement. So, but they attracted you there. But what kept you in it? What is it about the movement itself that has made you become such a contributor to it?
What made me, to remain a member or contributor is the fact of that they have solutions to problems of today. So many times our people, we have so many issues and problems, but with the 1 million, no matter what issue, from the educational realm to economics to voting to prison, rehabilitation to, supporting Brother Ed Pinckney, that attracted me and keeps me, sustained to the movement. Because, so many times you become involved in movements, that's the only thing you're doing is talking. But with the 1 million, we're doers. We're doing things to help our community.
Right. And I think the seriousness that the movement is, on display is the fact that there are these different meetings, physical meetings where people can go and travel. You got the training program and the orientation. I know there was one just outside of Philadelphia, or it was in Philadelphia, another one in Florida and what have you. So that, to me, speaks to how serious the members of the movement, the contributors of the movement, are taking it. And so have you attended any of the training sessions or orientations in person, and what does those look like? What can people expect?
Yeah, I attended both the initial kickoff, which was in Philadelphia, and also the last one we had was in Palm Beach, Florida. And what to be expected is this. The actual training is for the members to come together to learn more about the movement, to actually become leaders within the movement, to get trained on different aspects about the movement. And also, if your local community come out and find out more about us, if they see one thing that they like, we ask them to join, become members. The 1 million number comes from the concept of Brother Klingman and Bob Amafika of 2% of the population, the Black population in America, and they round up to 1 million. So if we had 2% of Black people in America come together and work, we can move mountains. So from the first concept, the first initial meeting in Philadelphia, we had a great meeting. Second meeting in West Palm Beach was a great meeting. And I begged and pleaded to have them come to Tennessee, because right outside of Memphis, Tennessee, we don't have too many people coming to our area with Black consciousness, giving us training, giving us hope, giving us aspiration to say, we can make it. At least there's a movement out there who has our back. So that's what we do with the training.
Yeah, we stick together. We organize.
That's right.
Right. So, in Jackson, Tennessee, and I understand what you're saying, because I hesitate to say in my situation here in North Carolina, because you do have a very active NAACP here, and I do follow the individual chapter members. I do follow the activities of the state, and Reverend Barber is conscious. I may not agree with him on every point, but he is conscious, and I know in his heart that he wants, justice for everyone and what have you. Because of the way the NAACP is chartered and formulated and got them government papers, you know, recently, as they asked for an FBI investigation into this county up here that's been targeting blacks, Hispanics, and poor whites, you know, even killing poor whites, electrocuted a black man, and just saying the sheriff's department was being run like a criminal organization. And he came out and said, you know, the NAACP has never been just a black, it's not a black organization, it's an organ, you know, because, and he talked about the history, founded by white people, you know what I'm saying, the various white people working in it and what have you. So I understood why he had to say that, but he does have consciousness and he working on the side of justice. So I could work with somebody like that as an ally, maybe not join the NAACP. So we're getting that here, but I can feel you where you coming from, where, because there are probably like South Carolina, different areas like that, where it's not so much, you know, consciousness being spread or organization, because organization is the key. Yeah, first you got to inform the people once they have the information and that they can act on, then comes the organization. So I feel you. You do need to go into the, you're probably talking about these rural country areas.
That's right.
Like where I live.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of black pockets of black people live in these areas. We tend to think about, you know, most of us being concentrated in these cities and whatnot, but there are a lot of us in these rural areas as well.
That's right. That's right. And so, like you said, with the 1 million, just think about it. We sponsor our own events, our own trainings. We don't get any corporate sponsorship, or nor are we asking for any corporate sponsorship, because guess what? As a community, we should support our own movement. You know, it's nothing like being free. And when you're free, you don't have to answer to anybody who's holding that, I guess, that carrot in front of your face. And so as a black race, once we realize that we can do anything that we can want to do, if we come collectively galvanized, and I must say, join the million. You know, I'm asking anybody in the radio audience, go to www.iamoneofthemillion.com. Take a look at our website and just look us over. And if you see, find one thing that piques your interest, we ask you to join.
Now, you talked about the ability of being able to fund yourself, not having to apply for grants and get from some of these organizations that, while on the surface, it looks like they're trying to be helpful, but historically, we see how they've undermined black self-determination and what have you. And so, you know, I became a contributor, and how is the movement funding these events like that? Well, it just simply asked to buy one T-shirt. Or some other products that you see, you know, on the website. So talk about that aspect of it.
When it comes to that, if you're a member, like the training and orientation is the TNOs, we ask every member to contribute a dollar amount. And once they contribute that covers any type of budgetary means. We ask members to go online now. You know, we have a new car bumper sticker that they can purchase. Any of our products, support our brother Rick Matches with his Black Friday movie, DVD. We have several other products they can purchase. And the last thing we do, just think about this, where you can go to any movement and do a one-time fee or a monthly fee and get all, any type of training, any type of black consciousness involvement that's going to benefit our whole community. You know, we don't beg anybody to do anything. This is a volunteer organization, and if you are serious about what you're doing, you know, you pretty much don't get on board.
Now, in Tennessee, again, you the Tennessee representative, and I don't want to misquote, but I think it's something like over 37, 38 different states that you have. I guess you would call them, how would you describe them, chapters? Or what have you, but or members in these different states and what have you. There's a number of us here in North Carolina. But what kind of specific issues pertaining to black people would you raise in Tennessee?
The first issue, first concern I have here, we have a lot of brothers and sisters here who have needs and looking for hope and looking for help and looking for when it comes from like getting your restoring your rights, if you committed a crime, We have a lot of brothers here who are active here in the community, but guess what? They try to stop them from voting. When they try to purchase homes, they don't have a way to purchase a home because, you know, they try to stop them saying, hey, you're a felon, you can't get a loan. Another thing is reparations. We need to be repaired, Brother Scotty.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you have somebody, if I keep you locked up for years, then all of a sudden I tell you one day you're free, but I don't educate you on how to survive, how to educate your family, how to be a man or a woman, you know, you're going to be, like, you know, to a certain sense, you're going to be out there in the wilderness. And then, you know, we got to stop asking those who oppressed us for the answers. Because if they oppressed us, how they don't give us answers to our oppression, you know? So we have to become one galvanized community. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the 1 million, we're not only talking about economics, but we're talking about collective economics. We're talking about doing block voting. You know, we haven't, and we don't, haven't to this point endorsed any presidential candidate because we have a list of planks, platforms that they have to support, you know. And if they can't support any of our planks, you know what? Hey, we go on to the next one.
Right.
And right now we're supporting Dr. Randy Short up in Washington, D.C., who's running for a position up there, local, I guess you can equivalent to, a city council person.
Okay.
And we're backing him right now because that brother, he's not only running, but he's also a member of the 1 million. So that's how we basically do things collectively. And organizing is another function of the movement. You know, you have to be organized in anything that you do.
Right.
Because if not, you'll be miscombobulated. You have stuff going everywhere. And so with the conception of Baba Amafika and Baba Jim, you know, they put this thing together, and now it's working. It's working. It's working. So we have people joining constantly every day. And but we need more people to come on, jump on board, and help us out.
Right, right, right. And yes. So, I mean, the goal is rather modest when you just say 2%. You know, which rounds up to 1 million people, and then you know, just say, you know, that 1 million people at least buy a T-shirt for $20. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we would say, you know, maybe 50% of that went to the movement, and so that's $10 million right there. That's a a serious budget for any movement, and it's all self funded. So, you know, because I had a brother on, not to call him out, but I had a brother on who's doing some great work in Akron, Ohio, mentoring young black boys and men. And so they were doing a documentary shoot. And so all the people that was funding it and what have you, the different foundations, he mentioned one by name, a well-known philanthropic organization. I think it was for a white woman or something like that. But anyway, the young brother wanted to say something, and they were filming, and all these people sitting out in the audience, in the studio audience or whatnot, and he went to cut them off, and the young dude from the trailer was like, well, I got something to say. You could tell, like, he felt frustrated, like he was being stifled and he couldn't be open, and he wanted to talk about, you know, football. He playing, you know, college football, and he was saying, you know, when I try to talk to these other black athletes about what you gonna do if they took this football away, you know what I'm saying? And so I was like, I don't understand, because, you know, I just saw excerpt. But he said that he tried to shut him down because of his funders was in the audience. So see, that's when we're having to suppress ourselves because we depending on the enemy. Again, the brother is doing some great work, but he just expressed his limitations. Now, probably in the private, you know, if that had just been the brothers in the room, then he wouldn't have shut him down, and he spoke his mind. But the young brother didn't understand somebody else is funding this movement, so we can't offend them. So that's what I particularly like about the ideal. I do not have to suppress myself in speaking my truth.
That's right. So, you know, we're asking, you know, the main thing, another aspect, is the economic side, because without economics, you really can't do anything. It's, you know, capitalism is the best.
Right.
So, you know, if we're asking this, you know, support our black-owned businesses, we can have conscious black millionaires, conscious black billionaires who are going to give back to the community and do what they say they're going to do. And we got to learn how to trust each other. You know, any family you're going to have disagreements with, but at the end of the day, we're still family. We got to learn how to love each other, how to trust each other, and have each other back no matter what.
So speaking of black businesses, go ahead and tell everybody how they can obtain your web design skills.
Well, I put it this way, Brother Scott. They can go give me a call directly at 731-394-8847, or simply go to IamOneOfAMillion.com. And if you click on our join link, you know, we'll get your information. And just put in there, you know, that you want to be a member and that you're looking for different skills, because I look at it this way. My business get more notoriety from word of mouth, people like you. And thank you for allowing me to, you know, to put my business out there. And that's a way to contact me, good brother.
Okay.
We'll go from there. Yes, sir.
All right. I might be contacting you to contract some work to you from, because that's what the Black Talk Media Project, we do the same thing. So, you know, when you don't have enough people, you got to find them. So,
what you're doing, that's, you know, that's 1 million. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed
right,
to do.
Right, you know? Right, yes, right, right. All right, so what would you give out the information one more time about the upcoming training and orientation in Jackson?
Okay. The date is June the 24th to 25th. It's going to be a training orientation here in Jackson, Tennessee. Jackson is located probably like 60-some miles north of Memphis, Tennessee, we're close to Memphis. And the purpose of the training is to get those who like to aspire leadership roles and responsibility with the campaign to come get more training orientation, and also an opportunity for people to meet the activists, you know, who are responsible for our campaign and learn firsthand who we are, how we propose to accomplish what other folks are convinced is impossible. So, you know, you can go to www.IamOneOfAMillion.com, and for those who are driving, you can also go to www.JoinTheMillion.com. And everything that you need to know about the training orientation and about our movement is online there. We can be reached on Facebook at I Am One of the Million, and on Twitter at 1 million CBB.
All right. Again, it was good to talk to you, Mr. Bradford. Hope to talk to you again fairly soon. And I'm just inspired to see, you know what I'm saying, the continued work of the movement, you know, and the people that's committed to it. So I truly believe if just 1 million black people could get on one accord and what have you, you know, we could accomplish great things. So thank you.
And one last thing, Scott, if I could.
Yes,
say
sir.
That too. We also have a national conference coming up August the 19th, including first, which is going to be held in Atlanta, Georgia. So they also can find information on our website also.
All right. All right. So that, all right. In Atlanta. All right. That's right down the road. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You have a good day, Mr. Bradford.
You too, good brother. Thank you so much.
Hotel. All right, that was Mr. Donnie Bradford representing 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. Again, the website is IamOneOfTheMillion.com. I certainly am down with this movement, especially because of the plank that calls for the removal of the exception clause from the 13th Amendment that allows them to practice slavery. We heard Brother Bradford mention reparations, and so I just want to make an appeal to the reparations movement. A lot of you brothers and sisters, y'all been putting in way more work than I have. In fact, I've been learning about the movement from reading about y'all works and whatnot. So don't take this as a criticism, but just to take it under consideration is that slavery ain't never been abolished. And I could point you to a number of noted conscious attorneys, law professors like Vanilla Randall and others. If we want to showcase some white ones, we can showcase them to professors who will tell you that slavery ain't never been abolished. They're practicing it now through the prison. So what am I talking about? Reparations is old. That tab is still running. It didn't cut off in 1865. How could it stop then? Sure, they let some people free, but then they started re-enslaving them through the prisons, the black codes, and all of that. See, we make the assumption, and you know, it's because the media has the power to control the minds of the masses. The, you know, the victor writes the history and what's getting promoted to everyone. And we are often taught that, you know, the only black people here were enslaved. And that's not true. It's not true. They came before Columbus, but we ain't even got to go back that far. The Revolutionary War would not have been won without black soldiers who were free black men and enslaved Africans being allowed to join in the fight. That was the turn. I've researched this myself. So that tab is still running, and not just for slavery, but for the oppression of the free black people who were being terrorized and lynched and since the founding. They had white supremacist codes on the books going back to the colonies and kept them on the books. So we owe reparations for that too, not just slavery, but for the mistreatment. Everybody else getting reparations, United States even paying Jews reparations. You might ask why they paying Jews reparations, because U.S. businesses and corporations that are still around today, still pulling the strings today, played a role in the Holocaust that occurred in Germany, supported the Nazis, financed the Nazis. Nazis came here, looked at what they was doing to black people, looking at what they had done to indigenous people. They got most of their ideals from here. And then even after the war, they brought some of them scientists back here. Nazis working in NASA. And benefiting from all this research. I know on the context of white supremacy, the independent radio station on the Black Talk Radio Network, they've been doing a book study on what is it called? Medical Apartheid, that book right there. So they have benefited from in so many ways, man. I don't think that they could ever pay it back, what is owed. So reparations, let's not limit it to chattel slavery from the 1600s, you know, up until 1865. They still enslaving segments of our population, mostly preying on poor people and people living in certain geographical areas. So that's still old. So anyway, on the other side, I do want to share my thoughts on the massacre that occurred at the club in Orlando. There's a lot to be discussed on that, besides the obvious that this was a heinous crime against humanity. If somebody ran up in a kennel or a dog pound or whatever and just start killing all the animals, I think, you know, pretty much there will be nobody trying to justify that. So why would you try to do it with people? Why would you be trying to quote some Bible scriptures or the Quran or you know, your personal beliefs or whatnot? And it's okay to have personal beliefs, but when your beliefs start impacting other people, you know, that's where they should end. They shouldn't go beyond you. Okay, you think cannabis is bad for whatever reason because you've been programmed by propaganda, and so you support locking up, jailing, fining, storing money from millions of people who see the medicinal benefits of cannabis or just want to use it recreationally because they don't like alcohol or whatever. But to justify, how can you justify taking a person's freedom away for using a substance, an edible plant at that? It's absurd. It's slavery. That's what it is. It is slavery, and it's carried out in a racially targeted way. Because slavery came, and then to justify its continuation at the mass rebellions, well, we'll just target black people for slavery, take away their rights. Also, the gun and rights angle. I'm so tired of people, after every time there's a mass shooting like this, that the media and everybody else, because everybody else really is being thought controlled by the media. Whatever the headline implanted into your mind, whatever the dude on CNN, whatever they keep playing all day, that's usually your opinion. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. So now they want to talk about passing more gun restricting laws. And then the internet got a way of correcting you when you're wrong. That, again, there is a lot of stuff to talk about connected to this, whereas the media calls it the worst mass shooting in American history, and the internet, black folks will correct you on that history, where there are 3,000 victims in one instance, Tulsa. There are 300 in another area. I've been sharing the memes that people been putting out there. The internet will correct you. This is not the worst. It's bad. It's pretty bad. If it had just been two or three people, it had still been horrific. Still would have been unjust. It still would have been wrong. But let's, you know, again, what is, man, why do we let them thought control us like that? Let me not blame the people, because you know what? The people ain't, they only got access. You know, when you got six corporations putting out 95% of the media, well, you know, sorry, Black Talk Radio, Black Talk Media Project, we can't compete with that. That's why we have a fundraiser. That's why I have a plan to attack that and increase our access to the people's minds. I'm just being scientific about it. I'm being blunt about it, because that's what we're talking about, mind control through media. Might as well use all the tools at your disposal. So I don't want to blame the masses, because they're being programmed. Got to blame the programmers and those who get paid a whole lot of money, six figures or more, to lie to our people, put a black face on it. So, lies to talk about, man, really. No matter how you feel, even if, you know, you want to come on here and talk about how these people deserve to be murdered in their little gay nightclub and what have you, you know, come, long as you respectful, you could express that view. But I will be respectful and present an opposing view. All right, so you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. I always tell you, it's a battlefield out here. Don't conscious, mostly non-white folks that was up in that club had been tuned in to Black Talk Radio Network or a number of independent stations on this network. They would have heard about battlefield awareness, situational awareness. Looking at this, like, you know, all these people want to kill you. They talk about it all the time. So, you know, how do you go to sleep like that? And then again, some people are saying this just something ain't adding up on this story. And I'm going to reserve my judgment until, because the facts usually don't come out within the first 24 to 36 hours. The cover story comes out. All right. Whatever the media producers and programmers want you to, but usually it's more investigation goes on and more people are talked to. You usually, you know, you start having questions. How did this happen? How did the American air defense system just horribly fail on 9/11 to allow not one, not two, not three, but four planes to go off course with no military intercept, none whatsoever, no jets, no. These people travels in the military. They train for this, you know, several times a year. Complete failure. Come on, man. People just have questions as time goes on. So, whatever you would like to discuss, you can do so on the other side. We got about 20 minutes left in the broadcast. The Conference line number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound, hit *6-1. If you would like to be brought on air, you can use the web-based flash phone, make a call from anywhere in the world, as long as you got some headsets. And finally, you can hit us up on our Skype studio line at 704-951-5030. I'm going to take a break, kick some more Sincere Nokwari, God Life Beats. So enjoy. We'll be back shortly.
You know, you are the reason for me continuing, Dr. Anderson. And I just pray every day, and I just wonder what, you know, what holds you up and what keeps you going. I know it's a wonderful wife that you have, because Dr. Joanne is just awesome. To find two people with the same type of commitment is a rarity within itself. But, you know, you've been out here on the horn sounding the alarm for years, for over 20 years or so, really 40 years. You've been doing it, telling us, like, that it's going to rain. And it seems as if nobody believes it. I consider you the prophet of our time, an economic prophet.
The next prophet is for the year 2015. I say by the year 2015, that over half of the living blacks on Earth, that is in Africa, the Caribbean, Brazil and America are going to die. D-I-E, you're going to die. That's
wait, that, 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 you said 2020?
No, 2015.
Yeah.
You're going to die. Because you're going to die because everybody's moving into a survival of the fittest mode. I told you that in 1970. That by the year 2015, you'll be into a survival of the fittest mode. That means that the strong will survive and the weak will perish. And you're going to the strongest will be based around three things you must own and control. Your equality, your equal opportunity, your power rests not having power. Well, that bothered me. And my only big disappointment is the fact that black folk have come to read the state of what I predicted back in 1970 would be. And every year, and you're right, I hit it right on the mark of what's going to happen to them. But obviously, they continue to listen to the people in the most visible part. Their importance is that we had 287,000 black folks die every month. In Africa, 287,000 per month dying in Africa, lack of food and medicine. And now Somalia, they got the hospitals are running over with just dying from starvation and famine. 20% of the world is suffering from water and food shortages. And our black folks just don't get it. You go into these black communities right now, you don't own and control a damn thing of anything. So consequently, I just surrendered. And I'm giving in to the reality of racism now. And I guess I'm pulling back. Start spending more time with my own family, enjoying the rest of my life, because we've been producing at one time, we're producing labor, but now our labor is obsolete. We're an obsolete, abandoned labor class. The reactions that they exhibit, and I learned that from one of the major findings in my doctoral dissertation, that black folk intellectually know what they should be doing, but emotionally they just can't bridge the gap. There's a gap in their thinking. We keep training our kids to look for jobs. We never prepare them to go out and produce jobs. Everybody else, every other group. And I used to see blacks just, you know, wearing their afros and their shikis and bumping their butts and bumping their arms and doing the fist sign and screaming black power and black be proud and going through the motions about being very black and realistic about black issues. Then as soon as a black got closer and stepped on his toe, he'd turn around and call him a black SOB, which meant they understood the importance of being black intellectually, but they just can't bridge the gap. Emotionally, and there's a disconnect, and I've gotten tired of trying to reconnect them, and I'm giving up this problem. I'm not going to have your problem.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
I'm
are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. This is Scotty Reed, and behind these enemy lines called the USA Inc. And so, you know, I wanted to talk about this horrific massacre that killed over 53 people, reportedly killed, almost the same amount injured. I was reading some of the reports. They were talking about how calves and stuff was blown off, and then predictably here comes the attack on the AR-15, what they calling an assault rifle, which is really just it's a rifle. Okay, all weapons were made to assault somebody with. Okay, that's why white people invented weapons, man. Well, I heard the Moors actually invented it, but once they got that fire stick, that, you know, really put them ahead of the game in terms of, well, I ain't gonna say, because the game shouldn't be to oppress people, but, you know, that's how they got their domination. It's through weapons to assault other people, the non-white people of the planet. And what, so every weapon is an assault weapon, but because the media uses these buzzwords and whatnot, look, they just made that rifle look that way because a lot of people who for whatever reason couldn't go into the military, or they just like the style, just like you like the way your car look, all it is styling. It's all cosmetic. It does not function like a M16. Okay, M16 got a 3-round burst. You know, people talking about, I read a headline that, I don't know if Bernie Sanders actually said this, but now he supports a ban on assault weapons. Come on, man. If that's true, you tripping. You pandering. All right? There are no assault weapons being sold to the public. I mean, automatic. That's what I meant. I misspoke. Automatic rifles. No, there is none being sold to the public. Can you get some in the underground market? Of course you can, man. People can build these things, make these things, modify stuff like that. There ain't none being sold off the shelves of Walmart. No automatic weapons. Even when I was in the military, I don't know about now, but when I was in the military in the late 80s and early 90s, we didn't have an automatic. The M16 wasn't automatic. Put it on 3-round bursts. That's to save and conserve ammo. 3-round bursts. Ain't no sense of emptying the whole clip and you didn't miss your target. You know what I'm saying? Half your clip is gone. 3-round bursts. Now, your heavier, you know, machine guns like the M60, the 50 cal, yeah, those are fully automatic, but they ain't selling those in Walmart, y'all. They ain't selling those at the gun stores. They ain't selling them. So it's just ridiculous. It's just fear. All right? That dude could have done just blowed off calves and blowed heads off with shotguns. All he needed was 2-pump shotguns, and he was armed with handguns from one report I read. You do just as much damage. And so where is it going to stop? My grandfather had a 30-30 Winchester. I don't know if y'all ever seen that old-timey Western TV series. I forget the guy. He used to play in the NBA back in the 50s and whatnot. But there's a show called The Rifleman, and that's where he carried that Winchester. You know, just that, you know, you pull the clip to reload it that fast. Pow, pow, pow. He real fast. Make you think he had an automatic weapon. My grandfather had a couple of those. Maybe one of them belonged to my uncles, and they had shotguns. That's the only reason why we remain people in that lineage, and our family remain on our property today. They were trying to terrorize them and get them to leave their property and flee the area and what have you. So if you want to start talking that gun ban stuff, you can say what you want, but I ain't trying to hear it. You're not going to change. You can't come up with no argument to change my mind. And then when we look at the memes that have been shared, like Countercurrent News shared this meme, Orlando was my home for many years, I'm hurting. Making sure all my friends are safe, but confused about the media. The worst mass killing by shooting in America was in East St. Louis. Mob kills many Negroes dead in East St. Louis, may reach 250. Shot fleeing from burning homes, exact number not known. That's what they tried to do. That same story my uncle told me, my oldest uncle, may he rest in power. Just passed away in the past couple of years. He was the oldest boy. That's one of the stories he told me. They burned the cross in the yard, and they was known to then set the house on fire. And so whoever was on watch woke everybody else up. He had three other brothers and their father. And they came out the door blazing. Chased them away. That's the only reason we still here. That's the only reason perhaps I'm still alive. Now, what am I, you know, obviously if my mother had been burned to death in the house, I would be dead. I wouldn't even be born, right? At least not in this form. So you kill me with this, we need to ban this gun and that gun, and you ain't talking about taking these slave catchers' guns away. They got assault weapons too. So, have sympathy for those victims, but the media lies, man. They try to erase your history. That's why you got to tell it. Of course, they don't want to tell on themselves. This is history that they don't want you to talk about. And then these supposed to be so-called educated people on TV. You went to school for 4 years or however many years, if you went to school at all for journalism or whatnot, and all you are is a freaking teleprompter reader. Paid to tell lies. And the pay is good. So repercussions ought to be worse. And I'll leave it at that. Then the Muslim angle, of course, Donald Trump talking about, targeting the Muslim. The dude was an Arab. Yes, he was a Muslim, but he wasn't particularly devout, according to his sister. The mosque that he sometimes attended, he was very disengaged from it and whatnot. But of course, we got the original terrorists on this continent talking this crap about targeting mosque and what have you. We reported on what went down in Texas and in the mosque where they terrorized, stalking that black woman. Dude with an AR-15 stalking that black woman. And then we saw what happened when they went to Dallas and tried that mess at the NOI mosque. Come on, people. Only reason we still here, but discrimination of any type, of any form, I'm against it. It's just that plain and simple for me. Does it pass the justice versus injustice litmus test? And it's just injustice. And of course, Hillary Clinton, I'll call it Islamic terrorism. Of course you will. We know you in the pockets of the Saudis. They gave you $500,000 worth of jewelry. We know your boy John McCain, his so-called nonprofit, the McCain Institute, got $1 million from the Saudis, $1 million donation. But, they lied and said John McCain don't have nothing to do with the Institute. They just founded this nonprofit think tank to influence children, to corrupt them, with the money left over from his presidential run, just like how the Clinton Foundation was started. So we know she in their pockets. Here she is showing her true colors. She will outright wing Donald Trump. You just pay attention. Hillary Clinton is just way more codified. She is more of a professional racist. She making Donald Trump look like an amateur racist. Because the key to racism is that your victims don't know you practicing racism against them. keep them confused and not aware of what's really going on and what you have done. If people will just look who all your bad decisions have affected. But somehow, of course, due to the media and all of these corrupt journalists, paid liars, making Trump look like he's the worst of the two. Watch Hillary, out right wing conservative Donald Trump. Watch her. She already making a move. I'll call it, because, you know, Donald Trump criticizing President Obama for not mentioning Islamic extremism, you know. All I got to say to that is, you know, were you saying anything when he didn't say Christian extremism, you know, in the case of Dylann Roof? Or these attacks on these abortion clinics, or Timothy McVeigh attacking the government, you know? And who can forget the original terrorists, the Ku Klux Klan, the Christian Knights? So, they, you know, Donald Trump said what he said, but Hillary Clinton jumped at the chance to say, oh, it's Islamic extremism and what have you. Yeah, when you sat up there and partnered with a bunch of them, I heard them yelling Allah Akbar as they was brutalizing Gaddafi, which you said stood in a Libyan city, or you might have been in Afghanistan in some secured location, talking about we can't wait till you capture or kill him. A clear violation of law. Nobody's talking about clear violation of President Ford's, one of his executive orders on not assassinating his estate. But yeah, she's Hillary. She's the Teflon grandma. Nothing stick to her. Right? But here she is showing her fangs. So, those are my thoughts. I'm not going to dwell on this too long. Tando Radio Show will be making a comeback to the airwaves, the live airwaves today on Black Talk Radio, coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. And for sure, this time, for sure, for real, we will have the debut of a new program looking at the indigenous history of, you know, people who classify themselves as black or were called colored or Negro, and looking at the indigenous nature of black people here. Again, you know, bodies into this false history that all of us are just the descendants of enslaved Africans. That has nothing to do with our solidarity. But again, slavery ain't never been abolished, so to me, it's nothing to even talk about. And we know those of us not on the prison plantation is being terrorized by slave catchers. So, you know, that's the program tonight. Dark Matters Radio with Brother Ronnie. So make sure y'all tune in. That will be at 11 o'clock p.m. Tonight, Eastern time. That's Eastern time. Yeah. Because he's joining us hosting from Canada, somewhere thereabout. In Canada. All right. We are global people. Ain't that right? So, let me just do a quick sweep of the phone line, see if we got anybody before I close it out. Area code 754. Thank you for calling in to express yourself. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, Scotty? It's Sam from South Florida.
Hey,
how you doing today?
Hey, what's going on, Sin? I don't know what part of Florida you in, but how far away were you from Orlando?
say about an hour.
About an hour?
An hour and a half, 2 hours away.
Okay.
Pretty close.
Well, what's your thoughts on what just occurred in that location you are?
You know, kind of like you, reserve judgment, but then again, you know, I kind of feel like it's somewhat the same situation, not exact, but same type of, I get the same type of feel of it from things that happened in Paris, terrorist attacks in Paris, terrorist attacks in Belgium as of recently, then just this, the whole kind of vibe. First of all, any loss of human life, I don't care what you do, you know, in society or whatever, loss of human life is loss of human life, you know what I mean? It's tragic on all scales, no matter who you are, what you do. But I just, it's like, what is the saying? The roosters, roosters coming home, the birds coming home, the roosters, whatever it is, but it just seems like that. It's so much, so many things that go on with America, with deception and cover up and all these type of negative things like that seem like these bad events continuously happen because we're not calling them out for what they are. We're not saying how, you know, what you were mentioning about quick to mention Islamic terrorists, you know, jihadists and things like that, but hardly ever never mentioned this guy was a Christian terrorist. You know what I mean? He did this in the name of God, who he believes or what he believes. You know, we never get that aspect of it, and I think that is a form of mental illness. And I think that these people that are going through these things, that are committing these acts, they're mentally ill from that standpoint. That there's been a lot of stuff that's been done that we as a country have done to other people, and that, you know, these things come home to roost in some kind of way. Because to me, it's kind of like, I don't know, you know, we get what we deserve, especially with this whole, with the gay issue and you know, the propaganda behind it, pushing it down our throats. You know, we have to accept it, and I don't know, it just seems like some people aren't willing to just sit back and say, I'm not going to accept it, but I'm not going to be vocal about it or go shoot anybody up. There's a lot of people out there that take that approach, like, you know, I'm just going to go and kill a whole bunch of, go shoot up a club or something like that to express my anger with what's going on in this country.
And that kind of plays into the hands of the quote-unquote agenda, because then it gathers sympathy and votes, and you see? So, yeah, violence don't solve anything. Not in that regard. So let me back up, because I believe in violence, in self-defense. You trying to kill me, you trying to enslave me, whatever. So let me not act like, you know, I'm Gandhi or something like that, because I'm not. But what I'm not going to do is go into a place with a bunch of defenseless people and just start capping people. You know?
That's ridiculous. That never should happen. Nobody should ever feel that violent, that much rage to where they go in. Forget killing one person. You injuring. You're killing people. You injured. Almost as much as many more people than you kill. So it's like all those lives attached to that are impacted by tragedy as well. So I definitely agree with you. Especially being a black man, you know what I mean? I believe in justice. I believe that nobody should be mistreated for any reason. But, you know, we as America, man, we created such a bad vibe, period. Just a bad overall energy. And I just see a lot more of this stuff happening. And they're gonna put all kind of reasons on, oh, terrorism, or this guy had a bad day, or, you know, they're gonna put all kinds of spins on it. But the bottom line for me is that we getting what we deserve. You think with us living in America, and I say we because, you know, I live here, America is getting what it deserves, and it's going to get worse. I see it as getting worse, but it will ever get better. And we're going to see a lot more of these shootings, Johnny, a lot more.
I mean, for those that buy in, I mean, they say this is a Christian nation, you reap what you sow. All right, if we accept the concept of reaping, or sowing and reaping, meaning planting seeds, and then from that seed, you're going to get a harvest. That's a Christian teaching right there. That's a Christian value right there. And so,
if
you sowing all this seed of death and destruction all around the world, it doesn't matter what form it comes back in or who's particularly targeted, But, you know, you can't ignore those seeds that you have sown. I've seen people making excuses for that. You know, since Obama has been in office, and it started before him, of course, but I've read that over 2,500 people have been killed by these drone attacks, all right? And I'm willing to bet you a conservative estimate is 75% of those people didn't have nothing to do with the target or the terrorists. They might have been related. Like, for example, they had the one guy. Obama got his kill list in his pocket where he just going to be the judge, jury, or executioner, take this guy out. The drone operators follow those orders, and then they see this dude is going, they get intelligence, this guy going to be attending his sister's wedding. He ain't seen her in 15 years, but she getting married, and he's going to be there, and they take out the entire wedding party. You know what I'm saying? And then this one guy want to come at me talking about, well, how long have drones been? What's the excuse for before, when drones weren't invented yet or whatnot? And I'm like, are you serious? Are you really serious that you want to take it back to when they invented drones? Like, they ain't been carpet bombing entire nations with, like, that criminal who has met with both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. What was his name? Henry Kissinger. You know, carpet bombed the entire nation's secret bombings and whatnot. So, you know what I'm saying? America has a lot of sins. I'm talking collectively as a nation for those who believe in those type of principles that, you know, they got a harvest that's coming back to them, man. I don't want to see it. You know what I'm saying? And perhaps it could be diverted, but you just want to keep on doing your evil. All right?
And that's why it's never going to ease up. Because just like what racism, white supremacy, in my eyes, is we can't stop. Like Puff Daddy, we don't know how to stop. We don't know how to stop this thing. It feels too good. So as long as this system perpetuates, the roosters are they coming home, but it's gonna be worse. And I hate to be biased. I hate to be biased, but I just call it how I see it. The majority of these mass shootings that go on, they are melanated and non-white people that get caught up in it, black people that get caught up in it all the time. But from my observation, the majority of these shootings go on in places that are it's a heavy amount of white people. It's more white. It seems like more white people are there, or in that area, or live in that area, than it is black people. Like, for instance, you know, I've yet to hear of a mass shooting go on at a underprivileged black school. You know what I mean? Or a movie theater that's set in the black, like in the black community, like a poor. You know what I mean? Because most of our settings are poor.
They happen in the community, but like you said, you know, ain't nobody going running up in the school trying to, you know, gang banging and all that type of stuff. Yeah, that's going on out in the streets. And me being one of those, you know, I want to say misguided youth back in, you know, the late 70s and whatnot. I was in the gang and we were shooting at each other and what have you, you know. And so, yeah, that was going on outside, but you know, nobody ever thought going to a rival gang member's neighborhood, go up in the school and just start shooting people. Never in the history I ever heard of anything like that.
And just to me, like I said, the people that perpetrate tragedy and disaster, if they don't get it, their family gets it. Their next of kin gets it. Somebody close to them gets it. And I think that's, I'm spiritually wise, speaking spiritually, that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that, you know, we as black people, I think it was, I think Dave, that does Kendall, I think he said it, that, you know, with everything that's been thrown at us, from racism, white supremacy, and just living, period, you know, because without white supremacy, life is a struggle, you know what I mean? So in everything, all of those things thrown against us, we're still thriving. We're getting killed and all these other things, experiments done on us, snatched off the streets, but we thriving. From all of these things we're coming out of. When you look at the other side, they on top in the 9 areas of human activity, but they dying off. They fading off. And as I said, all of these mass shootings, these tragedies, big tragedies like the 9/11 is another one. He was getting caught up in the descendants of people that did wrong, the indigenous people that were here.
And never repented for it. They did wrong and they never repented for it. And you still, they spiritually speaking, they still have a chance. They can repent for their father's sin, but instead of repenting of their father's sins, they continue that sin.
It definitely could.
Slavery never was abolished. All that stuff, all the horrors we've heard about, terrorism, all of that is still being perpetrated on this soil right now to this day. So anyway, but bro, I got another call. I need to take a station ID break and then take this last call before I get ready to wrap up. But I appreciate your thoughts.
All right, thanks, God. I'll be chatting with you later.
All right. All right, we'll be back on the other side. Take a short station ID break and pick up on this caller.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. All right, welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Caller, your mic is unmuted. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, just make sure you can hear me. Hopefully you're having at least a decent day. I was listening to the other caller, and I appreciate everyone's input. We all need to have different inputs. But I think sometimes we have to be careful about the punishment for everybody. Because at this club, yes, it was a predominantly gay club. I don't know if everybody was gay that day. I know it was Latin night. No one has talked about the poor Latin community. And I think there were, you know, since it was Latin night, there probably were a lot of Latin people from different countries.
I've seen a lot of photos of black people. One of the guys who was a singer for a band that had played there in other clubs, I don't know if he was gay or not, but he graduated from East Carolina University. He was like 30-something years old. He was one of the victims.
Yeah, so, like, you don't know everyone, you know, just because it's predominant. And I guess another thing, you know, with the guns, and this is a gun culture. I don't know why these politicians don't just say it. I just think about when you're little, you give your kids guns, then you get the super soakers, then you use right. the gun to win the prize for the girl. Everything is gun, 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 gun. You need to address, I mean, if you don't want people to have these guns, you're going to have to dismantle the gun culture, and give that up. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
To me, and that's a very important point, caller, to me, how about eliminating that first? I presume, are a regular listener to this program, and we talk about the issue of the murder music that's being pumped into the urban community, where you talking about killing, and disrespecting women and committing all these crimes against ourselves and members in our community and what have you. That's the same thing. You programming these people. So to me, you don't have to get rid of the guns. The only people who will be interested in the guns who have need for them and see the value in having them, whether they're hunters or whether they want them for self-defense. But when you're promoting it like you're promoting it, along with the violence, through the cartoons, you know what I'm saying? You got to expect then for more people to want guns and do bad, and some of them will do bad things with them because of the programming. Am I far from you?
And if we're honest, most of us have done it. I just think about recently, I volunteered one time with some kids, and the little boy did a good job, and I didn't think nothing of it. I was like, oh, well, summertime, let me buy him and his little brother, you know, the little water gun so they can go play. And I'm not thinking, I'm promoting gun culture, but I kind of was, you know. That wasn't the top of my mind, but, you know, a gun is a gun. And if you're going to promote, I mean, you promote that. And then I think you talked about the terrorism. I think I agree with what you said, how America is, I mean, I don't know who does it better, but I mean, I'm from America, you know, I'm not moving no time soon, you know, you take the good and bad with America, But when it comes to terrorism, don't seem like no country does it better. They don't have, I don't know. Not that that's a good thing to brag about, but I think we're kind of the best. And I know another thing you talk about pretty often is how politics is the most important. I have to admit, I disagree with you. I think education is the most important because you have to learn how to do everything.
That's true.
You have to learn how to with the politics.
Yeah, political education.
You learn how to do it.
Yeah, that's why they have political education. So I agree. If you can't read and you're illiterate, how are you going to be a benefit? So I agree with you on that, education.
And that's all. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you for bringing up those points. I didn't consider that, but, you know, but politics, it does even control the education. But again, you know, that's like which comes first, the chicken or the egg. I would have to agree with her and say the education comes first, because if you're illiterate and if you don't even have the ability to research these devils' history and the tricks and you know, the trials that they put you through, then you can't really, you know, function in politics or no other people activity area for that matter. Maybe a few, you don't have to be able to read to fall into religious fanaticism or anything like that. You don't have to be able to read to engage in war. I agree. Education is key to everything. All right. So anyway, thank you all for listening today. Thank Brother Donnie Bradford for joining us to talk about the upcoming conference. Let me go ahead and get that information out. The upcoming training and orientation for 1 million Black Conscious Voters and Contributors. The dates on the website is say June 24th through the 26th. In Jackson, Tennessee. So you go to the website IamOneOfTheMillion.com for updates. Want to thank our callers for calling in and expressing themselves. Gotta, you know, ask questions. We need to have dialogue. We need to consider all points of view. So thank you for sharing your views. And again, coming up at 6, more live programming, Tando Radio Show. And then tonight at 11 o'clock p.m. will be Dark Matters Radio, be the debut of that program with Brother Ronnie. Again, you know, I was thinking about this during the break. What do I say particularly on Friday? What did I just say last Friday? Go back and listen to the podcast. At the end of the program, what did I say? That weekends are particularly dangerous because there's alcohol involved. People let their guards down, and some people get, you know, more irrational in their thinking and what have you, and some people get violent when alcohol is involved and what have you. And then you got all these people. Again, this is why, you know, I don't club. And I've been to some clubs, and there's been some shootings here in the South, in the rural areas, not in Charlotte, not anywhere. These things have been going on a very long time. But yet we got people partying like it's 1999 or whatever, and they not paying attention to their surroundings, or they have hampered their awareness because they're inebriated or they high or something like that. They don't know what's going on. I'm hearing this pop, 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 but I'm not recognizing that as the sound of gunshots. And again, I'm seeing some people are asking questions. How did this man get in there? I thought it was a police officer. Somebody that lived there in that area said that usually it's police always there because of the potential for violence and what have you. So, you know, I heard there was a off-duty cop in there. He was armed and may have exchanged a fire with this dude. So how did he get to kill 53 damn people then if this cop was shooting at him? Did they just stand up in a line and just, you know, or again, they might have been crowded on the dance floor and this pop, pop, pop going off and they just ain't aware until the bullet hits them and puts them on the ground. This is why I say these things, man. It's a battlefield out there. And of course, I'm talking about it in the context as a black person being hunted by slave catchers in a system that practices institutional racism. I'm the wrong skin color to be letting my guard down. So again, I sympathize, but use this as an example. I'm still waiting on the details to come out, but how does he get to kill 53 people by himself like that in a club that got bottles, beer bottles, wine bottles, chairs, tables? Did anybody throw bottles, whatever, any and everything at this dude so that they can bum rush him and subdue him? Or, you know, did they let fear can cause some people to freeze? Fear will cause other people to act. Do they got security footage? And, you know, sometimes they have security cams in these clubs and whatnot. Is that footage gonna be made public? Because I'm not understanding how this many people got killed by one dude. And it sounds like they're, other than the one article I read about the cop shooting at him, getting in a shootout with him inside the club, it sounds like the cop just ran or something. After he exchanged shots with him, he got the hell out of there. How else does he get to kill 53 people? The cop damn sure didn't give his life to save nobody because he's still alive. I just got a lot of questions, so before I accept anybody's narrative on this, I'm waiting for more information. But my point remains, you live on a battlefield behind enemy lines. People getting killed every day, people being snatched up into slavery. So you need to make sure that you are on your game and all your awareness is intact and heightened and being ready for anything. No, there's no one foolproof method to stop anything from happening, but your chances of survival increase if you have a plan, if you get that early threat warning because you're paying attention. So again, man, that's why I don't go to clubs anymore. I don't go to large events. I would love to go see Cam Newton and them boys, you know, playing football in Charlotte. I can't afford the tickets, so that kind of prohibits that. But if I could, I would like to go, but I still wouldn't go because I don't go around, especially crowds of white people like that. I don't even do it with black people. The last time I did something like that, my two daughters, I got three daughters, but my other daughter wasn't born yet. And they were like 3 and 4. And we took them uptown Charlotte, me and my brother did, my baby brother. Took them uptown to this little festival, you know, annual black thing. I can't remember what it was called. You know, thousands of black people going to these different vendors or something like that. They had live music and all that. Mostly black people. And then some idiot gonna light some firecrackers, you know. Pow, pow, pow. Man, they stampeded, man. I had to just cover up my daughter. My brother had my other daughter. And I was like, I ain't taking my kids. And I'm not coming out to no more events like this in these kind of crowds. Because they could have easily trampled my children. I just call me paranoid, call me whatever. But I know it's real out there. So anyway, until tomorrow, tomorrow's Tuesday. I'll be back on tomorrow, 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, with another episode of Black Talk Radio News. Peace and blessings to all.